Hello and welcome to this special edition of Club Chronicles, all relating in some way to our 150th anniversary, which we have just reached, as most of you will know, 150 years of a private members club. There have been so many changes over so many years, but what hasn't changed is, I would think, the friendships and enjoyment that the club provides. So today I'm speaking to a very special person who has made it her mission to continue that tradition. That person is Marilyn Byrne, the current head of house, who only joined the club a couple of years ago, I think, Marilyn?
That's right, yes. Yeah,
but has put her mark on nearly everything that makes the club an important part of many people's lives. Welcome, Marilyn, fresh from the triumph of the 150th anniversary dinner and celebrations. But before we go and talk about those, let's delve a little further into your background. We know you were a barrister. Are you still practising or not any longer?
Well, I'm still insured to practise until next April. And I had, in fact, intended to do so. But really, the club has taken over my life.
Oh, dear.
I was never going to do very much this year in work terms, and I decided not to do any.
So what brought you to Cheltenham in the first place? I usually ask people at this stage what brought them to Cheltenham. People have all sorts of reasons why they come here. So how about you?
Well, my husband was the Lord on at Christchurch for many years before we moved to London for my job. And he loved Cheltenham. And when it became clear that he was going to find the stairs difficult in our house, because all London houses are all stairs, he wanted us to find somewhere in Cheltenham, and we did. He always thought it was one of the prettiest towns because of the lovely architecture, and he liked living in beautiful houses.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. So when he died, which was, I think, just pre-COVID.
Yes, indeed, pre-COVID.
And then it must have been a very difficult time for you, as it is difficult for many of our members. So when and why did you join the club?
Well, Edward died in February 2019, and for a year or so I was completely discombobulated, as I think most people are in that situation. And I was just beginning to come to when lockdown happened, and so I didn't meet anyone then. And after that, when lockdown finished, I thought I must really get a grip on myself and come and try and do something, meet some people. I learnt to play bridge, and I was looking around for other things to do. And David Mills, who was a friend of mine then, and still is now, of course, but who wasn't a member of the club, told me that he thought that the club would be a fun place for me to join. I tried to get in several times, hammered on the door, but nobody ever answered the door.
So How extraordinary.
So I didn't know how I was going to do it. And then I, playing bridge at the bridge club in Cheltenham, I met Jane Moyle. And Jane said to me she would introduce me. So she brought me over and introduced me to Mario, who was immediately friendly and lovely. And it went on from there.
And Jane and Mario are still very, very involved and friendly within the club.
Absolutely.
Now, you joined the club, but you weren't on the committee, and it was only a couple of years, and then you became head of house. Were you pressured into becoming head of house, or how did that all come around?
A pressure would be an unkind way of putting it, but probably not an inaccurate way of putting it. I think I was the only one left standing when the music stopped. I was persuaded that this really wasn't a very big job. There wasn't a huge amount to do. I could do it in a small amount of time. It wouldn't require lots of mental space. None of that was true, of course. But I believed it, mug that I was at the time. And now, although it has very largely taken over a large part of my life, I thoroughly enjoy it, so I'm very glad I did do it.
Well, that's wonderful. The achievements that you have made, though, have been remarkable, and I think everybody in the club understands that. First of all, I think you set about raising the quality and the frequency of the dining room offering, kind of things that we were eating and enjoying at that time. But that has been very popular, the moves that you made at that time. I know subsequently there have been more developments, but at that particular time it was quite a challenge, I would think, for you to decide how to bring more people into the dining room at that time.
Well, I felt and still feel very strongly that the essence of any club should be having fun. And I didn't feel that enough people were coming into the club and enjoying it. There was a bit of feeling that things weren't going so well. And I wanted to try to turn that around. I wasn't particularly attracted by the sorts of meals that were being offered as club suppers. And so I thought I'd do things that I and my friends would find attractive.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd start off by eating round the world.
Yeah, I know. It really has worked. So it kind of gives a sense of fun and style, I think, that you brought into it
for
all the club
style.
Members. And also, it's the way that the members want to use the club, because I know you're very concerned to ensure that anything that you do is for the benefit of members. Then your incredible transformation of the dining room and other parts of the club in a space of just a few months. In fact, 2 weeks in the case of the dining room. I may be wrong, but I think it's something very fast indeed. So how did you do that?
Well, it started off with Di Fletcher saying to me she thought the place looked tired and offering £1,000 to do it up. And I thought it looked really exhausted too. But when I came to look at it, I realised that if we just painted it, it really wouldn't make much difference. It needed completely rethinking. And I wanted to change it into something glamorous and attractive so that people would feel it was a special evening out when they ate there. And this would be a big advantage, I hoped, for club members. But also, it would attract non-club members to have private occasions there, which I know that we've been trying to do for some years. And so what it needed to do was to think about how it was going to be done in a very short time while the club was closed. So I spent several months selecting things on the internet, trying to do it in the smallest budget I could, but making it look great.
Yes.
We were very lucky because Lorenzo gave a wonderful Art Deco mirror and two wonderful chandeliers. Without that, it wouldn't look nearly as wonderful.
It was glamorous, which is...
Not as glamorous. I always wanted to make it a 1920s room, because the great virtue of 1920s is that it's timeless.
Mm.
It's 100 years ago, but it doesn't look old in the way that Victorians, only 20 years older, would look old now.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do that, and then it was a question really of timetabling. So I got it down to how long, what sequence everything had to be done in, how long each thing would take to do, and then I timetabled it and told everyone exactly which day and at what time I'd like them to appear to do it, and blow me down, they did.
Yeah.
They all turned up when they were supposed to, and did what they were supposed to in the time that I'd allocated for them to do it. We were extremely lucky.
Extremely lucky, and also you had help from people within the club.
I certainly did. It couldn't have been possible without Mario and Lorenzo in particular, and when it came to the 150th, without Ian McPherson as well. Without those people, none of this would have happened.
No. And so we now have this beautiful dining room, and other parts of the club which have been upgraded as well, which brings me now back to the 150th, where we started. And you enjoyed doing the 150th anniversary. It was another major challenge for you, on top of the most recent challenge of redoing the dining room. Do you thrive on challenges, do you think?
Well, I do like a good challenge, yes.
So what spurred you on?
Yeah. Well, the challenge was much more for Lynn and Carl and their teams than it was for me. And they've done absolutely magnificently, I think. I think we all owe them a huge debt of gratitude.
Yes.
Because they really have risen to the occasion. They've never fed 80 people before. And I asked them to feed 80. And they succeeded. I wanted this to be a really special occasion, a really special dinner that people would remember, not just for that week or even that month, but for it to be something that would be the highlight of their club lives.
Yes, because it is a very important occasion. 150th anniversary doesn't come around too often. You can have other kinds of anniversaries and other kind of events. But
150th is special.
Yeah.
And we should be laying the ground for another 150 years. We owe an obligation to the future.
It's perfectly true, because, I mean, when you think about Cheltenham, how far back it goes, you can think of many examples of the way in which this town has developed its future in that way. So we have to always remember we're part of history in this town.
Exactly. And we also see in Cheltenham some of the times when people haven't thought about the future and have built really ugly buildings,
yes,
which have spoilt the immediate environment. We owe it to people,
yeah,
to try and make this as beautiful as we can and keep it going for as,
yes,
long as we can.
Absolutely. I want to just go back to the event, and because there were all sorts of interesting things that we'd never tried before. The auction, for instance, was extraordinary, that you were able to get sufficient number of lots from members, and that everyone was quite happy to support that and to bid for items.
Yes, well, this is very much was very much the province of Stephen Hodge, Patty Parks, and Moira and Mark Hamlin, who all worked together on the auction and made it the success it was.
Yeah,
and people did give lots,
yeah,
and were willing to put in for various things that,
yeah,
everyone bid for.
Yeah.
So it was a huge success.
Yes.
We cleared £10,000 on it.
Which is amazing, and what we need. And I think you've always had a focus on ensuring that we continue to do things which raise money for the club so that we can do other things in the future.
Well, I think particularly this year we have raised quite a lot of money, but most of it's had to go on essential maintenance. The club was in a fairly poor state of maintenance, and we've had to fix the windows, fix the roof,
yeah,
fix damp, fix electrics. There's been really no limit to what we've had,
no,
to fix this
and
year.
And I know Dennis has been very much involved.
Dennis and Rob Wright have been
very much
involved in that.
In the renovation of the building, and everyone can see for themselves just how much better it's looking, and you don't have to dodge the water coming in the hall. And
well, that's right, but it doesn't give many immediate obvious benefits to members coming in. It has to be done, but you can't see that it makes life better for you.
Yeah.
So what I'm hoping is that now we'll be able to use the money we raise, some of the money we've raised this time and the money we are able to raise in the future, for benefits that people can see. Newly decorated bar, newly decorated coffee room. And
what's your wish for the future here at the club?
Well, I'd like the place to be a really attractive environment in which people can have lots of fun, and we should go on from strength to strength. But my particular ambition, about which I've bored lots of people, is I would love us to build a large and beautiful conservatory at the back of the dining room. That,
yeah,
would give us not only a beautiful room, but we could have underfloor heating there, which would mean that we could use it most of the year. We could add probably 30 people to the number we can seat now, and seat them in very attractive surroundings. And I think that would be an enormous benefit. So,
wow,
I very much hope we can try to raise the money to do that.
That's a great ambition. That is a great ambition. And I'm sure would be welcomed by many of our members as well.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. Well, Marilyn, really been interesting chatting to you and hearing the way that you came in, and also your vision for the future as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you for asking me.